The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
You know, I think our team has done about as much as they can in 9 months to prepare without playing a game. But you never really know on some things until it's game day. There's hitting going on. You're playing another team. We got to go out and execute and play a good game and take care of the football and create turnovers on the defensive side.
Fire up. It is here. Game day 2018 with Hail Varsity Radio, the weekend edition.
Damn.
Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak.
It's here.
80s action star Colton Stone. We are loaded up. We are fired up. We are 12 hours ahead of kickoff.
Mm-hmm. That is
beautiful. Let's count you down. Give us a shout. Let me know what you're throwing on the grill or the smoker already. And we can talk some Big Red football. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, numbers to get in. Find us and follow us on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Hail Varsity, at Mark Skurs, and at Two Birds, One Stone. Here's what's coming up. The Rewind will feature Terry Bowden.
Hey.
Terry Bowden, his thoughts on Akron, his thoughts on the Nebraska football program, his thoughts on...
God, he's been around for a while.
As he calls him, Daddy, and the trips Florida State made to Nebraska, all those clashes in the 80s that culminated with the teams,
yeah,
one team and another team being the team of the 90s with Florida State and Nebraska. So Terry Bowden, about 35 minutes away. Hour two, Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine will get us kicked off. And then the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will join us as we get you ready for Nebraska-Akron. But more importantly, we get you ready for two eras. One, Scott Frost, one, Nebraska. And you have that storyline that has been just very excessive, appropriately so, and now it is finally here. The other thing, the quarterback, Adrian Martinez. Kranak, you hinted at this. You were I don't want to call it a dark storm cloud, but you were a voice of reality a week ago with this quarterback decision. You have a transfer, you have a winner. Yep. And you have the hopes and dreams of year one, season one, in the hands of a true freshman that is extremely talented, that won the job, that you smile about, but also the injury factors in a lot of people's minds, not just for today, but moving forward.
It's unnerving in some ways. And, man, this is I thought about Joe Burrow immediately. I think if you could have a mulligan.
Because he's starting against the U today.
Well, right. I know. I think if you had a mulligan, you would have considered bringing him in. I just never saw the downside to bringing in Joe Burrow. But whatever, right? It's game day, right? Like, it sort of is what it is. You have your squad. It's dicey at quarterback. It's going to be dicey at quarterback. And as much as you hear Coach Frost and company say they're not going to dial anything back, I think you're naturally going to do that anyways because you have a true freshman. Mm-hmm. You're not going to throw everything at him. You're not going to expect him to perform at a veteran level right away. And so I think that probably will equal a little bit of, and now it's relative, but a little bit conservative with him. And it's irresponsible not to. You know what I'm saying? It's irresponsible not to limit the hits on the guy. Like, you just have to. You got Bunch backing him up, and then you got Matt Masker, who doesn't know what's going on yet. Mm. Walk on true freshman. Come on. That's your third string guy. You got to be a little bit careful. But no matter what, that stuff all aside, and I'm going to say our because I'm a graduate.
Sure.
Right? I'm an alum. I think a lot of people listening have some sort of, I can say we. I'm not in the media every day.
It's your state pride and joy.
I'm not a reporter, right?
Say we.
Our program is back, right? Like, it has been somehow infiltrated by these outside D-bags for years. And this is the first time in forever where you don't have to question the fundamental basics. You do not have to question. And I remember doing that. I'm sure you do. Ooh. On whether it was Callahan, whether it was... And I'm not calling... That's a little harsh to call them D-bags. Sorry.
I'm going to jump in here and say you're probably talking administration above them.
Well, right.
Save for T.O.
Look. Yeah, it's a little harsh. But I'm just saying... It's you would question fundamental things. You wouldn't go in questioning, is this receiver good enough? Is this offensive tackle good enough? You would go in questioning, being like, does the team even buy into the coaching staff right now? Is that defense, are they mental midgets enough? Can they get over being mental midgets to like be tough? You would go in saying, God, are these dudes even working hard enough in the weight room? Do you know what I mean? Like, you would ask really basic stuff.
Based on what you saw on Saturday.
There's none of that now. Are you going into this year thinking, this doesn't mean Nebraska's going undefeated. They're not, obviously. But are you going into this season thinking, Nebraska's really got to work a little harder in the weight room? They better take it seriously. This strength and conditioning program is suspect. No, it's not even a thought. You know going in, that pretty much everything controllable there has been a plan for, and people are on it. Doesn't mean you're going undefeated, duh. But all the stuff you eating right, sleeping right, good quality schemes. Like, you know that's a good quality scheme that Scott Frost runs on offense. You know that Chinander's defense is not the 85 Bears. But you do know he's not fighting against human instinct on defense like Diaco was. Don't be aggressive, everybody. Whatever you do on defense, don't be aggressive. Like, you're fighting against their natural instincts as a defender. That's gone. It doesn't mean they're going to shut everybody out, but at least you know those dudes, it's valued, it's expected, that they go out and hit somebody's ass. Go hit somebody. Get that ball. You don't question any of that stuff now. And that is, how long is that? 2009? The last time you maybe thought about that? Where you knew that those dudes were coming to play. You saw how 08 ended. You saw Sue on the rise in that Clemson game in 08. You're just like, they're going to be nasty next year. Mm-hmm. You know it. You know that they're going to bring it next year. And then the offense was just a shell of any kind. It was horrible. But, man, it's so nice to know that it's really about everything's under control. All the controllable things are under control. Let's go. Let's see what happens.
The bullying stops today.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a response to that first push you take.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you might be doing the pushing initially. It's hard to, and it's our job, put into words what you're feeling as a Nebraska fan right now, other than hope, confidence, excitement, and there is self-assurance finally.
Yeah.
Because of who's in charge, what they're going to do, the plan, mm-hmm. where they're going to go and how they're going to get there. Everybody's got the same syllabus.
Yeah, and with Frost in particular, for as much as we've all talked about him and bowed to him, that's going to wear off at some point, right? It just will. The Frost effect, you know, the second Nebraska loses by 20 to somebody,
You're going to like what you see, not necessarily the results.
Initially. Totally. But I think it's really not about him as much as it is his standard that he's set. You know, the standards are very high again. And you just naturally believe that that's going to bear fruit. Like, it's just going to. Like, teams that get after it like that don't get blown out by 50 all the time. They just don't. Right? And so I'm just very interested to see a team that you know is as prepared as they can be with what they have, with where they've been. Doesn't mean they're going to be at the pinnacle of college football this year. But I don't think there was any stone left unturned since those dudes showed up in December. I mean, is there anything glaring standing out of, oh, this is an issue? I don't think those issues exist. I think now it's just about, you might get beat, but if you're going to get beat, that other team better bring it.
No, that's absolutely fair. The only issue remaining, and this is just something that is going to be learned on the job, mm-hmm. is learning how to win.
Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely.
You're going to be able to go out and you're not going to have the Northern Illinois moments anymore. Okay?
You would hope not.
You mean never say never, but the point is the focus and attention to detail will be there. Now, this first journey of many more to come is about the ability to learn from the missteps. Mm-hmm. And that has been an ongoing issue when you get beat by someone better or you don't close out somebody you're better than, mm-hmm. be it recruiting rankings or development or game management or execution. Nothing's perfect, but all those things you feel at ease about, yeah. because of who's in charge and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing is to absorb this roller coaster, roll with the punches, and by November, be a far, far different team than what you kick off with today, what you see next week against the Buffs. How are these benchmarks looking when Michigan and Wisconsin and Northwestern happen in October? Yep. Where are you at against Ohio State?
Yep.
And then what happens with your football team as you close against Sparty and Iowa? I mean, what type of growth and progress, how high can you climb?
And where do you – it's weird to say that they're a measuring stick, but Akron's a measuring stick today.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so what does all this stuff equal? What does all this – what is this gaining 5 billion pounds of muscle, losing 600,000 pounds of fat, monitoring sleep, eating better at the training table, highest paid nutritionist in the country, best strength and conditioning staff in the country, three meals at the training table, morning practices, moving the schedules – the class schedules to accommodate morning practices, all these things, so many steps have been taken. What does it equal when you go up against, I would put Akron at, I don't put them at a bad team. I don't put them at a good team. I just think they're a run-of-the-mill, competent, average college football outfit. That's who you're playing today. You're playing a pretty average college football team, maybe slightly below.
They're a less than average group of five.
Yeah. They're pretty much. I mean, they were 7-6 last year. They won their conference, their division. Mm-hmm. Of course, they got blown out a couple. But you know what I mean. They're just sort of a football team, right? They're just sort of. They're not great. They're not terrible. They're just Akron. They're right in the middle. So how does Nebraska measure up to that? How do they handle, by the way, the electricity and energy in the room? In the stadium, which is...
There's no blueprint for this tonight, well, man.
That's the whole thing with the freshmen and with young guys. It's like that. You don't mimic that in practice.
You can't replicate.
No. You don't know. How cool as a cucumber Martinez going to feel when all of a sudden he's got more adrenaline running through his body than he's ever experienced in his life?
You had a you know? Dress rehearsal on a smaller scale with the spring game. But now they all count.
Yeah, but they made that as practice-like as possible.
That's fine, but you still had 80,000 watching.
No, you did. You say it going into every year. This is the most intriguing season in a long time at Nebraska. And you look back at previous years, and now you just think, God, I was an idiot for even thinking that.
Well, you had,
this really is.
You had hope. You had hope, and now you have a new reality.
Yeah,
and the thing that you are willing to bet whatever's valuable to you on is that this team's going to play the right way and they're going to get better. And you cannot – the last time you saw that was 08.
How about the innovation factor, too? You know, and Frost has enough of a body of work by now that I think you can literally put him in the top five with as a play caller, as an offensive game planner in the country. That's not rose-colored glasses. That's data.
That's Central Florida. That's Oregon.
Yeah. You just look at his body of work offensively, and he is right at the damn top. Right at the damn top. How long has it been since you've been able to say that, right? Tim Beck had never been an offensive coordinator, right? Sean Watson had.
Can we go back to just 97?
Well, yeah.
But when it comes to the last time you felt like you had an advantage with a play caller?
That is such a key word, what you just said, advantage. Like, that's probably the best way to sum it up. I feel like for the first time in a long time, across a lot of different factors, Nebraska has an advantage. I think Zach Duvall is an advantage.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I think he is on a different level when it comes to strength and conditioning. I think there's a handful of teams out there that are on par, but I know for a fact Nebraska has an advantage over Akron today in that department. I know that. I know that their offensive play caller and their game plan is a distinct advantage over Akron today. And I think in most games this year, you will think that. Like, Nebraska has some legit... I can't say that about their defense right now, of course. Special teams, who knows? But I know offensively, and I know just physical makeup-wise, Nebraska's... You might meet them, but you're not gonna have an advantage over them. You know? Which team in the country is in better shape? You can maybe say Alabama, and they're starting with a stronger raw product, right? So they probably there look crazy.
Writing down standard raw product.
But legitimate advantages. Nebraska has legitimate advantages over other teams. And what does that equal? I mean, who knows? You still can't throw the ball to the other team. You can lift as much as you want, but if Martinez is chucking the ball to the other team, sort of negates all those advantages. But you trust that if that were to start happening, Frost would dial it back. He'd figure out another way, not put it on Martinez. You know what I mean?
I just feel like there's some next level stuff happening. If you have a bad game and there's turnovers, you don't think it's going to snowball and get worse. You'll have a bad moment or game, and then it'll be better and fixed the following week.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think back too, man, defensively. I think we talked about this last year. It might have been Ohio State. And I thought it was just really emblematic of where the defense was at and what their practice habits were and sort of what was expected and what was accepted within that culture last year. It was when Mick Stoltenberg broke through the line, whether they just left him unblocked or what, I don't know, but he was in the backfield and he met an Ohio State back in the backfield. And Mick's natural response, and I remember thinking, I don't even know if I can put that on him. Mix, what, 290, 300? This back's 210. They just meet in the backfield, right? And Mick like gave him like a hug. Like, Mick didn't meet him
as the aggressor,
drive his legs and just, which he could have because he's absolutely the bigger guy, like, he just sort of hugged the guy, and the guy just spun out and picked up like 10 yards or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God. That's how they – that it just looked to me like that was his sort of natural ingrained – the way he's been practicing. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, thud up and
very,
let
very,
go.
Yeah, you're cautiously approached. Don't screw up.
Thud up and let go. But – but if you've seen that guy in person, he's just one guy. He's a one in a 5 million body type. Mm-hmm. And this guy is a monster. If you see him in person, you're just like, good God. Like, that's why I'm not playing Division I football, is because of people like you. Like, just genetically, just off the charts. But that's sort of how they were trained last year. You know what I mean? They're trained conservatively. They literally coached the aggression out of that defense. Like, that literally happened. The black shirts were coached to not be aggressive. Like, think about that. And so I'm just thinking, like, okay, so you got this guy who's a senior, 300-some pounds, been working harder than ever, just named a captain, by the way, which means he's earned the respect of the staff, too. What's that guy going to do now? And he's just one of many. What's he going to do now in a defense that values aggression when you got that kind of body type compared to where he was last year? I don't think you can judge almost any of those guys on defense until you see them play in a scheme like this. That is not a superior scheme. It's not Bud Foster. You know,
but it's a right mentality where you're going to go turn it loose.
Yep. Yep. So what's it going to look like there? And especially with guys like Mick, put in the work, is genetically superior to most human beings. Now in a good weight room, with a mentality that is go kill somebody.
And it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, the Frost era kicking off. Wonderful to have you here on Hail Varsity Radio. Don't forget the Real Red Reaction Show gets crushing from the rail yard right after Akron and Nebraska conclude. So be sure to tune into ESPN Lincoln, the ESPN Lincoln app for that. A reminder for you to keep that body, get it into tailgate shape with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. It's where you can go to Madonna, 402-420-0000, the number to call, madonnaproactive.org. When it comes to exercise, when it comes to health, when it comes to fitness and goals, Madonna Proactive's there for you. Three pools, an upstairs track, so much cardio equipment that the choice is going to be excellent for you to get in shape, shed pounds, feel better. And then strength training equipment when it comes to some of the circuit training you can do, the hammer strength machines, and they offer 130 classes as part of your membership. They had a great deal going on through August. If you got signed up, you got a $100 gift card. It's September now, so there's no reason to wait and find out more about Madonna Proactive. You like to hoop it up like Kranak, plenty of options for you with their basketball courts, pickleball, and time for you to get that body into tailgate shape with Madonna Proactive, madonnaproactive.org, 402-420-0000. It's great to have you in with Hail Varsity Radio. The Frost era kicks off today. The opener for 2018, the opponent, that's Terry Bowden. That's Akron. He's up next with Hail Varsity. The Rewind on the way, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, season opener 2018. Welcome in, head coach of Akron, 25 years as a head man, Terry Bowden with us. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How are you today?
I'm doing good. We've had good weather over here in Northeast Ohio, and that's always good when we have good weather up here.
It is, and I remember you being in Lincoln for some speaking engagements, some work with ABC. It's going to be nice to have you back in Memorial Stadium Saturday night. Tell Nebraska fans about Akron, about what's coming back for you. Start with your quarterback, Cato Nelson.
Well, Cato, our quarterback, he'll be a redshirt sophomore, so he's got 3 years to go. He started the last three games, maybe four games last year when our senior got suspended. And he started as a redshirt freshman last year. We won two out of maybe one, two, lost two. But he's going to be a fine quarterback. He's kind of the quarterback we had tapped as our quarterback in waiting, the one that we had hoped to build for the future of him. So we think he's a fine young man, a fine quarterback, and he'll get better as time goes on. This is not a good game to put a lot of pressure on him and under the fire in Memorial Stadium, but the only way to get better is to play and play good people. So Cato is a good quarterback. I've had some good ones in my time, and he's a good one. But again, he's going to be tested probably greater now today, tomorrow, Saturday, more than he's been.
Terry Bowden, head coach of Akron, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. What's the secret to getting those young guys ready? What's the secret to finding the guy you think can step in as a young player and perform?
Well, you know, you've got to. I mean, you got to recruit well. You got to have a. They got to start with something. You know, there's the base. They got to be able to throw it. You know, accuracy and decision making are the two most important things for a quarterback. Great decision making, great accuracy, but also leadership and the intangibles, being able to lead a team and run your offense. And I think Cato Nelson has those qualities. He just doesn't have the experience yet, and we're going up against a foe that's a lot stronger than we are. But I think over the years, you recruit a quarterback more in the living room than any other position. You can go out and recruit a lot of players by video, but you cannot recruit a quarterback by video. You got to be in the living room. You got to know what kind of person he is, what kind of leadership skills he has, what kind of how he deals with people, how he relates. And I've always felt that that's a little different recruitment, because that position, you can't win in Little League, high school, college, or pro without a winner at that position. And so when you get one, you're lucky, because if you don't have one, you're in trouble.
Coach, what's the next step for Akron? 7-7 last mm-hmm. year, but you won your division. You've got the only bowl win in Akron history. 2 out of the last 3 years you've gone bowling. You got a lot of guys back, I think 15 starters. What can this year be?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about what are our goals. And again, when you talk about Saturday, it's going to be to play as well as we can against Nebraska. But, you know, 7 years ago, this will be my seventh season at Akron. Akron had 3 straight 1-11 seasons. Akron probably easily the worst team in the Mid-American Conference, probably the worst team in America stat-wise. And now, you know, 6 years later, we're coming off playing for the conference championship and 2 bowls in the last 3 years. And 8-win season was the most we've ever won 2 years ago as a Division I team. And so now the one thing we haven't done is win the conference, and that's our goal, is to win the conference. We beat our rival. Our rival is Kent State. Their stadium is 11 miles from our stadium, so you can imagine having a rival like that across the street. So we've beaten them 3 times in a row. But again, we open up almost every season. You got to understand the MAC 7-7 is pretty mediocre in most places, but in the Mid-American Conference, our non-conference schedule almost always is tougher than our conference schedule. After Nebraska, we play Iowa State at Iowa State, Northwestern at Northwestern. Both those teams won their bowl games. And so we play 3 Power 5 teams. We pay a lot of bills that way. So it doesn't mean you're going to be undefeated usually, but it does mean you learn how to play. You play your hardest, you get better, and you have a chance to win your conference. Because if you can imagine, in the Mid-American Conference, and we've had 2 teams since I've been here, that have gone undefeated, and they're not going to make the Final Four. I mean, they don't. If you have 1 loss in the Big 12, you're going to get ranked ahead of no losses in the MAC. So, our main goal is to get a good conference, non-conference schedule that takes our kids to some nice places. Maybe upset somebody. We beat Pitt a couple of years ago. We almost beat Michigan 4 years ago. And then pay your bills with that, and then go out there and try to win your conference, go to a nice bowl. That's kind of where it all leads to. So that's kind of where we are now. Our goal, once we get there, our goal right now is one thing. That's to play as well as we can against Nebraska. But overall, I think our kids know that the ultimate prize here is to win the conference.
Terry Bowden, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, head coach of Akron. Coach, a thought here on Scott Frost. He's making the jump from Group of Five to his alma mater, and he named a quarterback this weekend, Adrian Martinez. Have you had much of a chance to see or hear much about Martinez, mm-hmm. and what do you think of Coach Frost?
Well, you know, we watched the spring game, and he looked like the best quarterback. I've seen interviews that Scott has taken. He treats that position like he treats other positions. And being a former quarterback that played for a national and won a national championship, you know, he is going to play the best guy. And I think he did it at Central Florida. He found a guy he could build his future with that also was the best guy on the team. And you just go with it. You go with it. And I think his relationship to his quarterback is always going to be very close. You know, I coached my quarterbacks for years. My very first quarterback was Jimbo Fisher, that I signed out of high school in 1983.
Really?
1983. And he was my first quarterback I ever signed as a football coach in college. But he was a great leader, not too short to be an NFL guy. But, you know, the qualities that they have. So he'll know that they will be, that quarterback will be the right guy for Nebraska. And Scott Frost, he'll make that transition so easy. I know when I went from Samford University to Auburn when I was 36 years old, we won our first 20 games before we ever lost. We won 11 straight the first year and won 9 straight before we lost. But Scott has that kind of – he's got the intangible qualities of a champion. He just, I remember in 97 when he led Nebraska to a championship. I was at Auburn. We were playing Peyton Manning in the SEC championship game. That's how long ago that was. But he was a winner then. He's a winner now. He's very fortunate. And I think my dad would tell you this and all of us, to be coached by one of the great men in college football, Tom Osborne.
Well,
I think that teaches you some qualities that you can't ever forget.
Coach Bowden is with us. Coach, let's spend a second there, because Nebraska, by all accounts, a special place to your father, and also you. Mm-hmm. You were a GA, weren't you, when your father came into Lincoln in 1980?
I sure was. In 1980, I was a graduate assistant. My brother Tommy, who was the head coach at Clemson for 10 years, was a graduate assistant. My brother Jeff, who's on my staff and was a coordinator at Florida State for years, he's my receiver coach. He was on the team, walk-on the team. And that was probably one of my dad's first signature wins. I mean, he went undefeated the year before. They didn't have anybody beating a number three or four-ranked Nebraska. Nebraska fumbled, I think, on the four-yard line going in the last play of the game going in to win the game. But it was – he always cherishes that game. And now I was at the 93, his first national championship
against Nebraska
in 93. And that was my first year at Auburn, and we were on probation from the previous coach, so I got to go sit at that game. Well, a lot of people don't remember is that Nebraska was lining up for a very makeable field goal to win that game, and they missed it. But that was his first national championship. But again, I know he has one of his closest friends was Tom Osborne, and I think all of us have such great respect for the great fans at Nebraska. And I will say this, we're coming in there to play as hard as we can, and we want to win as bad as you could want to win. But when all of it is said and done, my players will have no greater experience than to come into Lincoln, Nebraska and play at Memorial Stadium.
Terry Bowden's with us, Hail Varsity Radio head coach at Akron. The Zips come in Saturday night, kickoff 7 o'clock. Coach, what would have happened had Auburn mm-hmm. taken on Florida State in 93?
You know what? I'm gonna say this, and Dad had great talent. Derek Brooks and Ward.
Charlie Dunn, Ward.
His quarterback was Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner. He had so many great players, but we had something. We had something that's intangible. We had this ability to win ball games. We had a team, a great team that just found ways to win. We beat the defending national champion Alabama. We beat the Florida that was like ranked number one in the country that year, LSU. I guess most people would have bet on Florida State, and my dad would probably tell you by all means you'd have won. But I think that team was one of those chemistry teams. It's like I bet you Scott Frost had the same type of team last year at Central Florida. They just found a way to win ball games, and that's one thing. You know, if you have a team that finds a way to win, that can override talent a lot of times.
Coach, I want to talk about Auburn for a second. I mean, mm-hmm. your first 20 games, you're undefeated. You go 11-0. You sweep Spurrier. I mean, Florida was hot, right? They're number one. They're the preseason
number one. Yeah.
You go win in the swamp. I think you're probably the only SEC coach to sweep him in back-to-back years.
Well, I know we were the first team to beat him at the Swamp and at Auburn. But we, like I say, we just, you know, he lost to Florida State at Tallahassee and us for 2 years. We were the only teams that beat him with my dad and I. And we have great respect for Steve because he's such a great coach. He did a great job. And I think in between Coach Osborne's three national championships and my dad's two in the 90s, Steve popped one in there as well at Florida. But you just, like I say, you get on these five streaks and you can win football games. And I thought the funny thing I remember is we had won 16 straight games, every game in 93, the first five in 94, and we were 17.5-point underdogs to Florida at their stadium, and we beat them on the last play of the game. But those were great memories. I took 10 years off. I know a lot of people don't. After I left Auburn, I went to work for ABC Sports for 10 years and enjoyed that. I kind of did a Dick Vermeil, John Gruden thing. And then I come back and the only guy I can't beat is Frank Solich. I finally beat him after losing to him for 5 years. I finally beat Frank down in Ohio.
Well, you'll start the year with Frost and end the year with Solich in
right.
November 23rd.
Right.
Terry Bowden, head coach of Akron with his coach. It'll be great to see you again. Best to you and your
Thank
squad.
You.
Thanks for giving us a few minutes here on Hail Varsity tonight.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Take care.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Yeah, I don't know if it's changed or not. I don't know the history on how many used to play compared to now. Early enrollees, it changed a little bit. It's hard to be ready as a freshman unless you've had that spring ball. That makes a big difference. I think maybe high school programs are have evolved and doing a better job of training guys' strength and also understanding of football. I think guys are coming into college a little more ready. You know, our situation, we didn't have a choice. We had a redshirt freshman or a true freshman. Now we have a true freshman, a walk-on redshirt freshman, and a true freshman walk-on. So that's the hand we got dealt, and I feel great about it. The guys we have are doing a great job. So there's going to be some mistakes, some freshman mistakes. That's inevitable. When my first year here, I made some junior mistakes. The first time you're out there, it's just a little different. But I think we got the type of guys with the right mentalities that they'll make those mistakes, take it in stride, and learn from it and move on.
Scott Frost, welcome back. Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition.
He just lied.
Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kradak.
Scott Frost just told his first lie.
And Colton Stone.
I feel great about it. I got a true freshman starting. I got two walk-ons backing him up. I feel great about it.
Scott, you're squeezing the coffee cup.
I feel amazing about it. Could you paint a better picture than that? I feel great.
What is today about for you as a Nebraska fan? Family's coming in. Friends are coming down. Mm-hmm. Kickoff's at 7. Kranak will give you the official Ken Shimmick weather forecast here in a moment.
But watch out, Ken.
Kranak, you outlined and detailed what Nebraska can get back to being with Zach Duvall, with this coaching staff, with this head coach, with this culture, right? Back to the Nebraska culture. But what it's about for me today is what you're going to see tonight moving forward and into the future at quarterback. You got to have great lines of scrimmage, yes. You got to be able to be bigger, stronger, faster, and have more willpower and mental toughness, yes. But when push comes to shove, if all those things are in place, being developed, and excelling, it kind of comes down to that guy at quarterback, Adrian Martinez. And what do you have when it comes to grooming and developing quarterbacks? Not only just the ability to recruit them, but what happens after that fact when you get them here? Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is what is so exciting if you're a Nebraska fan, that you've got two elite guys between Frost and Verduzco with taking, molding, and producing good quarterback play. And you get the right guy, you can get great quarterback play, and that takes you into the stratosphere with other teams in college football. And can you stack good quarterback play? Where it's either boom or bust versus a consistency of the next guy up that's ready to go and being very effective. And you pair a skill set with an offense and a blueprint and a game plan, it can be really nice. And you look at Ohio State, they've had good quarterback play to get them to a certain level. Clemson's had amazing quarterback play. Yep. You have Alabama, who got the manager, and now they've gone and shifted to the playmaker. Okay. Yep. So that's what I'm excited about. Today is about the first step in a long journey for this really talented, mature quarterback that won a job, that is calm, that is mature, that's going to be able to learn and get better from mistakes that are made and the support system he has around him. That's where Nebraska can go forward, and it's one of the key components of getting back to national relevance. And it's going to be a year of learning, a year of growth. And then it's also going to be a year that you can take with you. And it's kind of a necessary evil where you take your lumps. But then, man, you can really explode in a positive way moving forward. And what's going to trigger that is your quarterback play that's going to make or break you from being good to great or from great to elite.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty incredible to think about that. You're not only starting the Scott Frost era, but you're starting the Adrian Martinez era at the same time. Mm-hmm. The parallels here, and it crosses over into a couple of years, but the parallels here with 92 Nebraska.
Well, you hope, right?
I mean, you knew Frazier was going to be a factor. Mm-hmm. He didn't start game one, but he just kept coming, kept hearing about him and how he was performing in practice, and Mike Grant struggled, and so they just kind of turned it over to the True Frost to see what happens, and you saw what happened. And it's difficult to think about. There just isn't a parallel since then of a freshman, a true freshman coming in who you know is tailor-made for what the offense is about. Tommy Frazier was like chiseled out of Tom Osborne's option dreams. You know, it's just like, good God, this guy is just perfect for what we want to do. And you have to say the same about Martinez. He's not going to win the Heisman this year. Maybe, but probably not. But he's a clone of Mariota physically.
It looks like
there's just not a it's not saying he's going to win the Heisman, but he looks exactly like Mariota, like in terms of his
body type, speed,
all of it.
Yeah,
and you saw what Mariota did in that offense under Frost, and that all starts today. There's so much that just starts today. But there might be stops tonight.
You're going to do this.
Listen, do we have a weather sounder, Colton? Or can you like mimic one with your mouth? Can you like, something, some sort of weather indicator? Let's hear. Oh, okay, he's going to pull something up here. I can't give this report until I get my proper sound indicator. He's looking all over his phone right now. This is high tech.
Just have very loud sirens people screaming in the background.
Hey, where were you in the pre-production meeting, Colton? We were talking about this.
He beat you here. I wouldn't give him any help.
Yeah. Never mind. We forgot to have a pre-production meeting. That's probably what the problem is. Well,
the Saturday pre-production meeting is showing up before
at any point,
you hear the sounder roll tide.
At any point, you can interrupt my... Oh.
See, don't do that. People are going to freak out now. Before people listening are going to weird out.
Listen to this, though.
Thank you, Colton.
7 o'clock, looking at my hourly forecast on weather.com. Mm. By the way, weather.com, operated by who? The Weather Channel. The Weather Channel, all about what?
Weather.
Weather. Right? So the foremost authority in the world on weather says...
Thank you, Colton.
35% chance of thunderstorms.
Turn that up.
At kickoff. At 8 o'clock, it goes up to 55%. Skyrockets to 95% chance of thunderstorms at 10. This tempo better be legit. You got to beat the storms that are coming.
The ass kicking better happen before Mother Nature says it's time for recess.
Don't stop the clock. Tempo. And Nebraska might get this whole game in.
Hour 2, Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp on the way with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you at Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, the weekend edition. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. We are loaded up for the Frost era to kick off here, less than 12 hours away. You can join us 466-377-6800-825-5865. The Real Red Reaction Show in the rail yard right after Akron, Nebraska. You're going to want to tune into the ESPN Lincoln app. And get caught up, react, enjoy, and wear that poncho. Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine with us. Vogues, how are you, brother? I think I saw it's only been 273 days we've been waiting. Okay, what are we?
I'm doing well.
Okay, you're doing well. You're hearing ESPN in the background. Maybe. Yes or no? Okay.
Game day operation is...
Let me fix this.
Is this going to be... Is this a harbinger of things to come? I don't know. All right, Chris Schmidt off of a headset to go fix everything. Frost era kicks off today. And this is the Hail Varsity Radio Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery. There are so many things to get excited about today. and it's also one of those things where, do we really frickin' know? Like, do we really know today what we're going to see? I mean, we can make so many predictions. We can talk about this freshman, that freshman. It's just nice to know, though, that finally Nebraska is going to take the field at Memorial Stadium, and I think we can all confidently finally know, or at least feel good, that the controllable stuff is controlled now. It's not, you're not going in fundamentally questioning whether the head coach is the right guy for the job, whether the O coordinator is the right guy for the job, whether the scheme is right, whether strength and conditioning is right, whether nutrition is right. Finally, that is being taken care of. And Chris Schmidt rejoins us.
Yeah, we're still. Vogues, is your brain being scrambled right now? How are you, brother? And he said, hell with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It doesn't look like the Vogel thing is going to work out. Is this a harbinger of things to come, Chris? I mean, here it is.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's game day, and all of a sudden we're dealing with audio issues. And that wouldn't be a problem if this wasn't a radio show, which relies on said audio.
Well, Bob is here, so let me go grab Bob. Are you okay to juggle for a second?
Yeah, sure. Everybody gather around the radio.
Colton?
You're going to watch somebody juggle.
Let's see if Kranak can reel off some picks here, because that's what you're working on. You're concerned about Nebraska and Frost.
Yeah.
But you're also concerned about your confidence selections.
By the way, the 26 points today, too. That's another thing. That's how Nebraska's favored right now. 26 points over Akron today. And, man, I really do think it's right around that number. I mean, is there – and we'd love to hear from you, too. At @Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs. You can tweet at us. The biggest – if it just feels like that number is damn close. Like, do you see anything other than, like, a 41-14 type game? You know what I mean? Like, do you see Nebraska offensively being held under, like, 35? It just feels right. Like, it just feels that 26 points is probably about, it's probably about right. When you look at Akron coming in and they struggle against better teams. Like, they mightily struggle against superior teams. And you'd have to say Nebraska's superior. 26-point number's about there.
Let's talk defense, because that'll be something of importance for Nebraska, not only tonight, but moving forward. And when it comes to turnover creation, when it comes to stopping the run, mm-hmm. when it comes to just being better in the fourth quarter, and the reality is that they're going to be on the field a lot, too, because of the style of the offense they're paired up with. Mm-hmm. And I look at this Nebraska team to get unleashed. I look at this Nebraska team to find guys like a Luke Gifford or even a Caleb Tanner, right, yeah. to get off the edge and cause some problems with a pass rush.
Don't forget Ferguson.
No, Fergie is nice. He's made a good move. And here's a name that you have been hoping to see and hear, but he's back at it. I think a guy that's going to have a nice impact this year is going to be JoJo Doman. Hmm. And you've got a lot of dudes that are the hybrid type guys in that secondary
right.
that can cover, that can tackle, that are going to be kind of, and I don't want to call them tweeners, but they're guys that can cover, but they're also dudes that can stop the run, can come up and run support. You're just going to have a different attitude, we touched on, but it'll be carried out with, it's not, all right, fill your run gap and or your run fit and then go make a one-on-one tackle. You're going to have three or four hats around the ball, which will be nice.
Well, it's a defense that values and accentuates havoc, right? That's what it's about. And there are certain players that naturally kind of tend towards that way. And you remember last year, even under Diaco's very conservative, to put it conservatively, very conservative style of defense, you heard a lot about Luke Gifford in particular mm-hmm. being sort of a turnover machine.
Sure.
And that was in a defense that, I mean, under Diaco, for as he did have some good defenses. I mean, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. He did have some decent defenses, but they were never good at turnovers. Mm. That was never their thing, ever. Their thing was preventing big plays and getting off the field, right? Like that was what their entire modus operandi was. But Gifford, despite that, developed a reputation as a turnover guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to play close to a full year last year, obviously with the injuries. So what happens when you put a guy like him in a defense that values it and that wants turnovers above all else? It's a pretty good fit for that guy.
Big time fit.
And then you look at, I think people like Antonio Reed, I've loved the way that guy's played. I've loved the way he welcomes collisions. You know, he just he's all about it. He's great with it. And he's vaulted to the top of the depth chart. You know, so it's good to see that an aggressive mentality, a ball hawking mentality is not only expected, but the entire scheme is designed around it. And those kind of guys should flourish in it. And I feel like Nebraska has enough of those guys to make that happen. I think you have some genetic freaks on defense.
I think you have a lot of them. And let's talk.
Ferguson is one of those guys, by the way.
But he's also a guy that is nose to the grindstone, just kept working.
Yeah.
He's an example guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Ferguson, an outside linebacker, is going to be nice. Mick Stoltenberg. You know what's nice about Mick, and you kind of painted that picture of practice habits a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's he being taught? What's he trying to carry out on the field?
Yeah.
That's now moved to more of a vocal embrace of leadership.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get Vogues here back on. Gary Sharp is on the way. Bob, God love him, Mr. Bob Cook, our engineers popped in. Thank you for doing that. Nothing like reality. Hey, hold this while I go talk to somebody. Look, it's like I was filling my beer back up.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Not everything goes to plan, and when the play breaks down,
you just got to improvise.
Are you going to scramble?
Well, you didn't throw a pick. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I didn't try to. That's the thing. People don't understand how difficult and complicated. Although I've always thought this. I think radio and TV were primarily designed by engineers, which it had to have been in order for it to happen, but hasn't been redesigned enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more complicated than it needs to be. It's a theory I have.
Mm-hmm. When you say theory, I need you to kind of rub your mustache. We welcome in Brandon Vogel back with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, it wasn't some sick evil trick. Sorry about that. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. We're still having problems, it sounds like. Are you able to block out and just listen to one voice in your head?
I'll do my best. This will get me ready. This will be sort of like what this first college game is going to be like for Adrian Martinez, I guess, to some degree.
Yeah, a lot going on with that. Vogues, what are you wanting to see tonight?
I'm excited to see Nebraska, you know, really all of it. Everything. It's felt like a, you know, it's as much excitement as people have had for this season, it's felt like one of the longest off seasons in quite a while. So obviously the offense, but I think the defense will probably end up being as big a takeaway maybe from this one. I think people are going to be able to see sort of the effort plays, the getting after the ball. All of the things that Husker fans grew to hate about last year's defense should be at least different on that front right away tonight.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio as Nebraska gets set to kick off the 2018 season under Scott Frost. Is there a stone unturned or an outstanding question as it relates to preparation going into the season? Does anything stand out there?
He can't hear you.
Ah, well, I guess I can imitate him.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. The Scott Frost era on the Hail Varsity Radio Show
is off to a sweet start. Vogues, we'll try that again.
Brandon, okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you crystal clear right now.
That's beautiful.
Good, Colton.
Look at what
Colton
we've
took
done.
A claw hammer out and beat the hell out of the computer. That's a winner.
All right, Brandon, so is there anything in terms of preparation, in terms of...
I'm going to get a beer. I'll
yeah,
see you.
Okay, go for it. Is there, in terms of preparation, or is there a stone left unturned that we haven't talked about with Nebraska going into this year that gives you pause, that causes you concern, that's still an outstanding question? Like, is there something Nebraska did not do, or you don't know if they did, going into this opener?
Not you know, big picture wise. It's weird. Akron feels a little bit like a stone unturned in terms of this week. You know, so much of it has been about Frost's first game. And also, you know, it's partly a week one game, too. It's just tough to know. All he's got is last year to go on. So you're talking about sort of a half team at best on either side, you know. But no, I mean, kind of like Coach Osborne said, it was Frost is pushing all the right buttons so far. You get the sense, I think, coming in that they've at least thought of everything. And I don't know. It's hard to remember back if I felt that way previously, but it certainly played out as we watched those previous tenures go on, that there were some things that had slipped through the cracks. With this one, I feel like there was a pretty complete plan in place. At least that's what I've seen so far. So I'm struggling to come up with one of those uncorrected concerns at this point.
Brandon Vogel's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. You can read him and follow him at Brandon L. Vogel, HailVarsity.com. And to get his book with an incredible coach, John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Vogues, I wanted to get your take here on just the makeup here you get with the team moving forward. And we were talking about the number of days that's happened. But the bigger question of learning how to win, right? Nebraska, it's been a long time since they've played and outlasted a common opponent or a better opponent. And I'm interested to see that journey this year. Are you confident that Nebraska can make strides as the season progresses with it, not just internally, but from a results standpoint? Can they get better? We think they can, but can they get better as the year goes on?
I absolutely think so. In fact, I think, you know, if you start to look at it, you know, what should somebody want from this season? And a lot of people have said just get better. And I've probably told this story before, but here's an example of that. So my neighbor's brother was an assistant on the USF staff in 2016. He was over there one day. I happened to be talking to him. And USF won that game over UCF. I think it was 48-31, something like that. USF was pretty good that year, obviously. That loss put UCF at 6-6 for the regular season. And he told me, and it was kind of a shocking moment. He's like, that team is going to be really good. They're going to be a problem in 2017. He wasn't saying they were going to go 13-0, but it was one of those things where, you know, that game may not have looked like a huge deal in sort of the 2-year storyline of UCF, but it kind of told me everything about how that first year was going. The last game of the season, the assistant coaches were coming out of that game from the opposing team and saying, man, they're getting it. They're going to be really good. I think if Nebraska ends 2018 in a similar spot, everything will have gone about as well as it can go in a year one.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, you dive into numbers quite a bit. Put you on the spot real quick. If a team averages over the course of the season 268 yards of total offense, that's their average. How terrible is that?
That's pretty terrible. I would guess that the national average is probably over 400.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, it ticks up a little bit each year as the game becomes more and more about passing. Okay. But yeah, 268 yards is not going to win you many ball games.
Okay. So, and the reason I bring that up is that was UCF, and I don't think this gets talked about enough when you look at Frost's sort of reclamation project. And it's how, hey, year one of the offense was really rough. I don't think enough attention has been paid to what he inherited. That's what he inherited. That 2015 UCF averaged 268 yards of total offense, under 14 points a game, dead last in the NCAA by a pretty wide margin. They were the most pitiful offense in the country. And then Frost comes in. Get some, and they didn't put up great numbers in year one, but he was starting at absolute rock bottom. That's
here's another way to look at that number quickly. You usually get about 13 drives in a game. Now, you know, with tempo teams, we'll get more. So you're looking about 20 yards a drive for a 2015 UCF team.
Okay, so
maybe 30 if someone hit the quarterback late.
So that said, I don't know if we can copy paste this thing, and are we maybe? Because look, Nebraska's offense wasn't amazing last year, but they weren't putrid. Right, I mean,
they weren't putrid, but man, they
had fits and starts. They were on the whole, they were average to below.
They were
average.
Masochists. They drive into the red zone and then throw a pick six the other way.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is Scott Frost is starting from a different place this time around. Should we expect there to be such a growing pain kind of season, considering what Nebraska's bringing back and considering Frost's overall body of work? Really, the 2015 year is the only year that he fielded a crappy offense. The rest of the time, it's been all roses.
No, I think there's the potential for that. Certainly, it's something that I've thought about and haven't quite been willing to go all in on. But you know, how much or where is he truly starting from with this Nebraska group? Because you know, now that the games are here, I think we'll eventually kind of get away from just overlaying two UCF years over what it might look like at Nebraska, because we'll start to see some of those things finally. We'll see how quickly this offense is able to sort of grasp and handle what they're going to do under Coach Frost and the offensive staff. The key, I think, then becomes, because I do think they have skill position talent. The run game was really awful last year. But I like the talent both on the line and in the backfield. So I think that's pretty good. So it really comes down to Adrian Martinez as a true freshman. Not just can he avoid mistakes, but it's how long will it take him, and maybe he'll display this tonight, to just let this offense work for him. Because we know that they can do that. They can put him in positions where he should succeed if he just kind of makes the easy play. And that can sometimes be tough to do for a freshman.
Yeah, how much are you going to want to force it, and do you get caught up trying to make the big play versus the air quote normal play, right? And we'll see if that maturity can translate to decision-making, and does the decision-making that won him the job translate to the field under the lights game time-wise? Brandon Vogel's with us. Vogues, at the end of the night, who are we? Who is Husker Nation talking about? Give me a couple of names.
I think Miles Jones will have a big enough debut. I think it's going to be really interesting with the running backs all season long, because you're not going to be talking about a ton of touches. But I think we'll get at least one where everyone gets to see what the coaches were talking about with Maurice Washington. Everyone will be anticipating that. And then defensively, he's kind of my season-long pick, but I think he'll come out of the gates pretty fast. I'm really, really high on Ben Stille for the season ahead. I think he's going to be a very good defensive end in this conference for another couple of seasons.
Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, lay out what's going on with the Hale Varsity crew. What's shaking today, tonight, and beyond? Online, on video, what's the agenda, bro?
Yeah, we've got kind of a wall-to-wall coverage with the 7 p.m. kick, so we've already got a couple of stories up today. We're going to have some fun stuff, I think, from the pregame, so check our social channels for most of that, and we'll get a couple of those up on the website. The exciting new news is we now have a rail yard location. So you'll see some members of our extended Hale Varsity team out there. We've got a couple of new shirts. So if you're down in downtown Lincoln walking around before the game, make sure to swing over there and say hi and check us out.
Yeah, he did not stutter. A rail yard location.
Yeah, that's good.
That's sweet. Krennic's moving good. In. Yeah. At Brandon good. L. Vogel. Vogues, you are awesome. Incredible work. Can't wait to see you a little bit later. Thanks for a few minutes, bud. Thanks for putting up with the many voices in your head.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Brandon Vogel, a professional, as always. Speaking of the rail yard, that's where Nick and Hooksy going to be after Nebraska-Akron. Real Red Reaction with ESPN, powered by Hail Varsity. As soon as Nebraska-Akron is finished up, log on, either ESPN Lincoln, the ESPN Lincoln app, tune us in 101.5 or 1480, and reaction for you, can chime in, can dial up, and can go see and wave as Real Red Reaction with ESPN Lincoln. Nick Gregeth, Bill Hooks, going to be awesome. Down in the rail yard, that is going to be phenomenal. We want to party, enjoy, celebrate with you, the Nebraska fans. That is good. We are going to take a quick time out. The Iron Horse. Gary Sharp is on the way, but first, while you're bumping around downtown, it might be wise to take that lovely lady of yours into Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick. Rick's a huge Nebraska guy, and he's got that bling that he can show you, and she'll love. And it's pure-grown diamonds, I'm telling you about. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds is Sauter Heyman. 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean? Well, they're real diamonds. They're real beautiful. They're one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. They're eco-friendly. They're 100% sustainable, and they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. Two locations in Lincoln for you with Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown. When you're bumping around downtown, getting ready for Nebraska kickoff, go see Rick and your friends at 12th and O downtown in Lincoln with Sauter Heyman, or South Point Pavilion. A location for you in Lincoln, out west in Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. At Mark Skurs on Twitter, follow Mr. Kranek at Two Birds, One Stone on Twitter, with Colton Stone at ESPN Lincoln, the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle at Schmidt_radio. Can follow me. A quick timeout. Sharpie's up next.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranek.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Well, the way this second hour's gone, we're on the every 3 minutes, a martini order from Mr. Makata. Hey, welcome back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, weekend edition. Mark Kranek, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, it's finally here, man. Kick off the Frost era. Can you make a phone call and make sure Mother Nature does not interfere? How are you?
Good. I thought you were just going to say, we finally made it. It's September 1. Is there anything going on?
How many days till kickoff, Gary? It's kind of been your tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll give you a startling number that when Nebraska takes the field tonight, and if they start the season 1-0, that'll be the first victory by Nebraska in 308 days.
Oh, man. You had to do that?
Well, because I was
thinking, public service.
It's been a long time since Nebraska won a game. And that Purdue game, which was shown all summer long on BTN, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, the Nebraska Classic.
The Rutgers win.
The Nebraska Classic.
That says enough right there, doesn't it? The fact that the two games they showed in 2017, Rutgers and Purdue, because that's all they could show.
Just classics.
Yeah, and with that said, this just shows you, and we talked about it now for a while since Scott was hired, is how things have changed so much in a short amount of time that the passion and the pride has been returned and the trust has been returned to the fan base, where the fan base trusts the coaches trust the players, and then it goes right back up the tree. It is really an amazing transformation of what happened that from the Purdue game last year to what's going to happen tonight against Akron. It's almost like 90,000 people will show up tonight to have an in-person thank you to the Nebraska football program, Scott Frost, and anybody else that was responsible for giving you a better feeling as you wake up on game day today than you've had in a long time. You don't have angst. You're not going to be rooting against the program. It seems like everybody is rooting for the program. And you sit back this year, and we have no idea what's going to happen. We're from 6-6 to 7-5 to some are 9-3. But you're going to be able to sit back and enjoy football. Now, we'll still have the ups and downs, and we'll still have debates, but it'll be an enjoyable season where you're not going into it going, man, Nebraska's got to get to Indianapolis. You're going to go, man, Nebraska just needs to get better as the season goes along, and I know I'm not going to be embarrassed, and I know that the guys on the field and the guys in headsets will have the same kind of passion I have as a fan, whether I'm in the stands, in the sports bar, or at my house. Guys, we haven't had that in a while. That's really an amazing transformation in a short amount of time for what Scott Frost, his staff, has been able to do to the fan base.
Gary, I think you could just say that in so many areas, it has been an extreme makeover. So, like, any of the changes have been really extreme changes. I wonder what you think the top one is. For me, it's I believe I counted 18, at least 17, I could be wrong, 17 or 18 scholarship players gone. So you talk about roster makeover. That's extreme. You never hear about that amount of turnover. Plus infusing like 52 new guys. You're talking about essentially half your roster is different.
And that, it had to happen. You know, it probably, if you go back to 2015, and this will be the last day that we kind of talk about old stuff, but that probably needed to happen then, and it didn't, and it lingered, and it probably at points stalled anything Mike Riley could do.
Yeah.
But Scott Frost was brought here, paid $5 million. He's here to win football games and make his roster better day by day. And you're absolutely right. The transformation of the roster, the infusion of new guys. But keep in mind, this season will be based upon, in my opinion, the success of this season is the guys that have been here for a while. Because look at on defense.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of new faces over there. There's a lot of guys that took the brunt of Saturday morning talk shows last year that are back, that look like they're having fun, and there's a ton of respect for their teammates, of what they're doing. It's amazing what has happened. Now we'll see if that translates to the field. But you're right, roster management, and then inside the culture change where football is fun again and everybody's on the same page and there's a huge amount of trust. I don't think we can underestimate how much of an impact that'll have this year and moving forward in the program.
When you get guys to buy in and have that trust, a lot of times it'll take a season or midway through a season for it to click, right? Well, it seems like it's been pretty immediate, one, because of how difficult a year ago was, but two, I think the guys on this team, guys in the locker room, I've seen the previous success from Frost, but I think just from a communication standpoint, Gary, and you can answer this, do you think one of the biggest reasons that there is trust is just how Scott manages a team and a program because he's able to talk with guys?
I think that's a great point, Schmitty. I also think, remember, this program was 4-8 last year.
Right.
That was a 4-8 mentality. That was not last year a 4-8 roster.
Yeah.
And the guys that are back know that they are better than a 4-8 football season when it comes to pure talent. Now, the mentality, that was a 4-8 mentality, and it might have even been a worse record with their mentality. But the fact that that was identified early on, that we got to correct that, that's not acceptable around here, and to get everybody going in the same direction, and I'm going to be transparent with you as long as you're transparent with me, I think that goes a long way. The infrastructure has been able to be worked on, where in the past with coaches that take over, they're not taking over a 4-8 team. They're taking over a 9-win team that they've got to continue to win, and they have to worry about the on-the-field before they ever get to the most important part. As we're seeing during this transformation, you got to work on the infrastructure. And I think Scott's been able to do both. That just shows you how talented he is along with his staff. They can do the on-field and the infrastructure simultaneously to try and get to the result that they want. Now, who knows what's going to happen tonight? You got a freshman quarterback. He's going to make mistakes. You got an offense that maybe a little clunky, it may be a stop and start big play, and then go a little bit where you don't have success. There's a lot of things now in Nebraska. The next challenge is because they're playing a team that, you know, is not going to lay down and say, hey, here you go, keep making strides, Nebraska. So there's a lot of things to watch tonight. But, boy, before you take the field tonight, there have been a lot of things that have been corrected in this football program that have lingered not only last year, but have lingered for a while. And again, that's It blows my mind how quickly this has happened here.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You mentioned Adrian Martinez. Does his talent become immediately evident? Do you know what I mean? Like, does it show, or do you think it's sort of game manager time for Adrian and we might not see him? Or do you think right away it's pretty clear that this is a guy?
I think right away, the first thing you'll see is And we kind of have seen that in the film we've watched of him is of athleticism. He had a play during fall camp in a scrimmage where he went back to pass. His wide receiver wasn't open. He was under pressure. Instead of throwing the football away, he put his foot in the ground, and you would have thought he was Amir running the ball. I mean, he took off, and he was like he was shot out of a cannon, and then was downfield running, making a smart decision, not trying to run a guy over. But you know what? Getting enough yards and then protecting himself, he has that kind of it. You know, true freshman quarterbacks usually take over programs that are not very good. You have JT Daniels at USC. You have Adrian Martinez at Nebraska. They're taking over, in USC's case, a better record from last year, but two storied programs. Yep. And it's because they have that it factor. And again, I think Adrian Martinez, we won't know if he's the guy until he has some challenges and he learns and he grows during the course of a game. But there's just something special about him that he's able to handle the correlation between him and Frost being the guy in that position at the University of Nebraska and his ability. But I said this a couple of times, guys. If I'm thinking, man, 4-8 last year and now you got a true freshman quarterback, that guy's got to be the savior. You know what? No one is saying Adrian Martinez has to be the savior. What they might say in 3 years down the road, if Nebraska continues this trajectory, Adrian Martinez was the savior. But they don't have to say it in 2018. And I think that also helps him moving forward. But don't kid yourself. He's got a lot of his head coach in him. He's very, very confident in his ability. And I think the synergy between the head coach and his quarterback in terms of play calling, I can't wait to see it tonight, because I think it's just the way that Scott calls plays, he's thinking ahead, kind of like his head coach at Nebraska was. I think you'll see him and Martinez before the end of the year. They are in lockstep, and they're saying the same exact thing about what's going on the field.
How big a smile is T.O. going to have on his face?
I think he looked a lot better. Let's be honest. Last year, if you ran into him, his voice wasn't as strong. He looked kind of worn out, and you're like, man, are you okay, coach?
Yeah,
well,
amazing.
Scott Frost comes back, and look at Tom. Tom looks refreshed. And I think it's not only that he has a former player that's now running the Nebraska program, but I think Tom also is glad. There's a lot of players that drifted away from the program, former players that had important roles in building this thing, that are coming back. And it's kind of been a neat to see Tom and kind of his renewed energy and his excitement. And hey, it's a resource. There are 1.9 million people in the state that are a resource to that football program that has been used at times, and other times it's been, you know, pushed away. Now it's being used, and Tom Osborne is being used as a resource. And I think it helps still a young head coach in Scott Frost, but also in that staff that is with him, to understand what this program means to the people in this state and how you get there. And there's a roadmap, and I think this staff has it, and it's exciting. I mean, tonight's going to be, I'm trying to find words to describe what the atmosphere will be like.
So have we for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be what it is, and it's hard to do anything but let your imagination run wild.
Yeah, it's just, there's so much that has gone right, Gary. You know, it's so hard to poke holes in any part of this operation right now. That said, Nebraska is going to field a very different approach, I think, than Nebraska fans are used to. This is a different deal that Nebraska is going to watch offensively and defensively. Here's one thing that has stood out to me, just kind of looking back. Oregon routinely ranks 100th or below in penalties. UCF last year, same thing. What do you think accounts for that, Gear? Is that because of aggressiveness? Is it just because of number of snaps? Will Nebraska fans be okay with that? Because most likely Nebraska is going to be a pretty heavily penalized team.
Well, that's a great observation. I think it's a combination of both of the things that you said, Mark. And there's going to be certain elements of this program and how they play football moving forward that you might have to accept, whether it be the hit or miss, swing for the home run, or strike out on defense when you go to make a turnover. You might have to early on think, okay, a 42-35 game, that's a good win. for Nebraska. Oh, yeah, they gave up 35 points, but boy, Nebraska scored 42. So I think it's an adjustment on the fans, how they play. But you're absolutely right on the penalties. That's something to watch, because you remember when Mike Riley had a stretch where they were one of the more penalized teams, yeah. People lost their mind. They're like, I'm disciplined. Well, we'll see if they're undisciplined penalties or if they are from the tempo and everything else and things getting discombobulated a little bit.
Yeah. On the field, what folks are watching for, they're excited about. Sharpie, let's talk off-field for a second. And Kranak, jump in here too, bud, because you saw kind of a red tint, a still pick of Memorial Stadium with the new lights, yeah, the tunnel yeah. walk.
Mm-hmm.
The Moose, Mr. Moose, was talking to us earlier in the week about honoring the past, living in the present, and I'm screwing up his mantra, but you know what I'm saying. Past, present, future, those three elements. Yeah. What's the intro going to be like? And I mean, how off the hook do you think it will be about 5 to 7 minutes before kickoff?
I think it will be a tunnel walk that is geared towards the guys that are walking through the tunnel.
Hmm.
It will honor the past. It will take a look at the future. But I think a lot of it is about the now and the guys that are playing football at Nebraska and how that entrance into the stadium, what it can do for them. You know, it's one of those things where you can tell that Nebraska football is starting to make its road back when they get control of the tunnel walk. And people aren't losing their mind that the tunnel walk may change for the first time in eons. Yeah, but I think it's more geared towards the players that are in the uniform that are coming out of the tunnel, and the fans will embrace it. But, you know, I mean, we are Nebraska, that there will be people that are like, tunnel walk's not very good. I told you you shouldn't have had captains for the entire season. You should go game by game.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing about this whole transformation. If there are little things that all of us, all three of us that are in radio, you get calls, you get debates, you get anger, captains, black shirts, tunnel walk, alternate uniforms. Those all four have been really minimized any conversation. Because if Scott Frost says we're wearing all black, people are like, yes, I told you black should be one of the colors of Nebraska. Should have done it a long time ago. Look what it did for Danny Nee in basketball back in the 90s.
Yeah. Gary, is for the game day experience, the new LED lights coming in, and that picture I was talking about on Twitter, it looks like the stadium was washed in red. Have you heard anything like specifically? Because it feels like with LED lights, you can crank those things on and off instantly. You don't have to wait for them to warm up. Like, is Nebraska doing some innovative stuff with game day presentation, lighting, synchronization to music, stuff like, have you heard anything about that stuff?
I've not heard, but I would not be surprised by it because of the people they have working in that department. I do know that with the lights this year, it might be a little bit darker in the seating areas where the only thing that's really illuminated is the field.
Good.
For night games.
Good.
Which you see a lot more around the country, especially in arenas where it's just the floor, the ice that is illuminated and everything else is black.
Yes.
I think that's what you'll see tonight and moving forward, is dark in the stands but bright on the field.
Bruh, Gary, man, I know you're in the press box usually. I'm up in the East Stadium expansion. You have no idea how many bugs we share this earth with until you sit up there under those lights, and it is just like Jurassic Park happening around you with bugs. It is crazy. So that is great news to hear. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Sharpie, before we say goodbye, and thanks for the time today, man, give me a lock of the weekend, either a game or a moment tonight at the stadium.
Can I give you a lock of an overreaction?
Sure.
Because, you know, we're all involved in post-game call-in shows. Adrian Martinez will win a Heisman Trophy before he's done at Nebraska.
We're going with
when's that first call come into one of the overreaction shows?
Beano Cook, God rest his soul, is no longer with us.
He might win two.
unless Maurice Washington knocks him out for one. Hey, one of the locks is people will have to scramble to look in their program to see who number 22 is on offense, because they're going to see him run the football tonight, and they're going to see his body, and they're going to go, who is that guy? I know there's been a lot of new faces, but who is 22? You're going to pick up your program, you're going to look, and it's going to say Divine Azigbo, and you're going to go, wow, he looks different, guys. He acts different. He runs different. He may not be utilized differently, but there's a guy that is one of the poster childs for a quick turnaround to get on the field an important role, but get your body and your mind right. Divine Azigbo will play an important factor in this year's team just because of what he was able to do off the field, and that has added to his on-the-field game.
Yeah. Sharpie, we'll see you on the sixth floor later, bud. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care. Gary Sharp, a quick timeout. We'll say goodbye next.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
One final time for your weekend edition to get you going on game day. Frost Era Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Cranack. Colton Stone missed the show today. Take us with the podcast on HailVarsity.com or get to iTunes. Colton going to be tweeting out some of the audio highlights of today on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle or the Hail Varsity Twitter handle. And don't forget Real Red Reaction tonight in the rail yard. You and thousands of you and your closest pals can go hear Gregeth and Hooksy do their thing post-game right after Nebraska-Akron, the ESPN Lincoln app. And every game will have the Real Red Reaction show in the rail yard for home football weekends. Want to see you down there. Want to hear your thoughts as you can chime in and react to the Frost Era with ESPN Lincoln, powered by Hail Varsity. Cranack, I know you're fired up. You and a dear friend coming down tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been waiting on this a long time. You might even run into the number 87.
Yeah, Brandon Riley. Just put out on Twitter, he's been trying to make the roster with the Bills, and has had pretty good.
Did great preseason.
Yeah, good preseason. Looks like he got cut. Listen to this guy, though. This is what he just tweets about 25 minutes ago. Head held high. Now it's back to Lincoln to witness the beginning of the Frost Era. GBR always.
Always a half-full beer. You want game day gear. The T-shirts are incredible by Hail Varsity. Log on, store.hailvarsity.com. Colton, behave yourself tonight, 80s action star. Mark Cranack, Chris Schmidt back at you on Tuesday with Hail Varsity Real Red Reaction tonight after Akron.